The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And he swings, hits it high, and deep, and gone! Still going back! Out of here! Welcome to the big leagues!
Deep to center field, and it is gone!
Wow, his first big league swing is going to be a grand slam home run. Swing and drive! Mountain right! Welcome to the show!
Welcome back to The Call-Up, your go-to podcast on the future stars of Major League Baseball. In today's episode, we have a couple interviews with two of the more intriguing pitching prospects I think you could hear from right now. Chase Dolander of the Colorado Rockies organization, their first-round pick in the 2023 draft, and a very, very talented arm, as well as Kumar Rocker of the Texas Rangers organization, who is also a first-rounder and working back from Tommy John surgery. It was really fascinating to get an update from him, hear a little bit about his unique journey from pitching in indie ball to then getting drafted so early, I think, as being one of the biggest surprise picks of his draft, and then of course, being reunited with Jack Leiter in that same organization and now working back in some of his goals for this season after showing some really good things before his elbow went out on him at the professional level. With Dolander, it was great to just be able to ask him a bit about the difference between his sophomore season at Tennessee, where he solidified himself as, I think, the top pitching prospect in college baseball and maybe just in baseball period, and then a bit of the step backwards in his junior season, where he pitched to a 4.75 ERA, though you saw the talent on display all the time. You saw how loud this stuff was and how just good he is of a pitcher, but at the same time, it was like, wait, why isn't this all playing the same way that it did the year before? Jack and I had theorized on previous episodes that it seemed like it, I think it was when we talked about the Rocky system, that it seemed like it was a bit of a mechanical thing, and that I think the pitch, his fastball and his slider wasn't always doing what he wanted it to do. But of course, nobody could really talk about that in more detail and really be able to explain it better than Chase Dolander himself. And he was able to really specifically break into what was going wrong mechanically for him and how it impacted what he was trying to do on the mound, and how throughout this offseason, you know, leading into the 2024 season, how he was able to get to the bottom of it, fix it, and how good he feels now being able to go into the season, not only feeling like that sophomore version of Chase Dolander, but maybe even leveled up from that because he added a curveball that he's really excited about. And he feels like he knows exactly how to get back to where he needs to be when maybe his mechanics go a little awry during a start. And I felt like we saw that right away, whether it was a spring breakout outing where a couple fastballs miss arm side, you see him recalibrate, and then boom, that vert is right back and he's on top of the ball and maintaining his direction. And then in his first professional outing here in a regular season setting, he dominates in high A. I wrote up kind of the things that stood out to me in that outing, which I will link in the episode description. The first of the starting pitcher roundups I'm going to be doing each week in the minor leagues, kind of breaking down some of the top pitching prospects' outings and what stood out to me. But Dolander was dominating with the fastball, got that vert back from that low three-quarter release point, and just hitters could not really get to it, whether it was from a velocity standpoint, just getting on them too late, or just trying to get on top of it because of the ride that it had. And he averaged about 96 miles an hour. We saw that curveball that he was talking about in this interview. It looked really good. And then he mixed in that slider, of course, as well, that is a wipeout pitch when he's got it going for him. Dolander is a guy that I think is really going to hit the ground running this year. It seems like he's figured things out. And I think you'll come away with the same idea and the same thoughts by listening to this interview. And then, of course, that first start of the season definitely, I think, validates that as well. Very pumped to see him do this over the course of the year and get up to Double-A Hartford, a little bit more of a pitcher-friendly environment, see how the numbers look up there. And I think he's a guy that could fly through the minors pretty quickly in this rocky system as he continues to hone in on the command a bit more as well. Both great guys, both easy to root for, and especially Rocker with his wild ride and now coming back sometime this year, just being able to get a little bit more context on, you know, what he thinks he can do this year, what his workload may be like, and some of the things that he was focusing on before the injury, what he's focusing on after. All really fascinating stuff from a guy that really captivated college baseball and college baseball fans, I think, as much as anybody on the mound over the last few years. And I think it was right there with Paul Skeens and some of the other top guys that we've seen. Rocker is an easy guy to root for, and I'm excited to see what he does when he comes back this season. Hope you enjoy these conversations with Chase Dolander of the Rockies and Kumar Rocker of the Rangers. Here they are. Here with Rockies first rounder and top pitching prospect Chase Dolander, who's taking a little bit of a break from the autographs. How's it been going so far with the autos?
It's been going great, man. I just got off the eBay Live, and they told me that all my cards sold for over 100. So
that's good.
That's pretty good, I guess. I don't know.
No, it is. I can tell you that not everybody's did that for sure.
It's pretty awesome to see that and kind of have that fan interaction. It's been really cool. Yeah.
You had some personal inscriptions that you know, fans that were buying the cards right. would be able to ask for.
Yeah.
What were they?
One of them that I thought was pretty funny, and there's a backstory to this, and I guess I'll go to the story first. Is when I was in college, I got told that I had a full salad bar in the back of my head, and so one of the people was like, let the lettuce hit the floor. And so I was like, I like that, so I did it. And that was a really funny one. eBay Live one of one was one of them. I put my nickname Dolly on that. That was pretty cool. So just to see all those transpire was pretty cool.
Are you much of a collector yourself? Is that something that you were into maybe as a kid, or have you gotten it back into it at all now being on the professional side?
You know, as a kid, I found a box of cards and I didn't know what it was. And so I opened it up and I saw, you know, a lot of Braves cards because I'm from Georgia. So my family kind of, I don't think they did like heavy collecting back then, but it was just kind of what they accumulated. Yeah. And so I got into it a little bit, but now that my own cards are in these packs, it's really, really cool. So I'm starting to get back into it.
Yeah. And I feel like the common answer I've been getting from guys is, oh yeah, my dad is like actively pursuing all of my cards. I don't know if your dad's chasing after the cards.
You know, it's my mom and my stepdad that I think are both trying to get the cards. So
I love it. That's a lot of fun. And getting on the baseball side.
Yeah.
One of the top pitchers in college baseball, obviously a lot of attention on you for a couple years and a lot of buzz and excitement and things like that. You know, being able to now be on the pro side, obviously threw a lot of innings, so a lot of college guys end up, they shut you down, but they probably made you a little bit more eager to get going now this 100%. Year. How did you kind of manage that, and did that kind of fuel you in the off season to get your work in and get yourself as ready as possible? Not that you weren't going to anyways, but just like on another level, as you get geared up for 24.
You know, as soon as I got drafted, we got sent to the ACL and the Arizona Complex League, which is rookie ball. And I got to see, you know, some of the draftees in my class, you know, start playing. And I was like, well, you know, this sucks. I want to play. And so, you know, they get sent out too. And so we had one guy, one of my former teammates at Tennessee, he got all the way up to Double-A, Seth Halverson. It's my dog. I love that guy. So he made it all the way up to Double-A. But a few more guys go to Fresno. We had some guys go to Spokane. So, I mean, just seeing all those guys go out and me just staying where I'm at, not throwing, not doing anything, just working out, it fueled the fire for sure. And so this offseason, I hit it really, really hard. And, you know, I'm just excited to see where it takes me.
How were you feeling at the end of the year? Did you feel like you could have probably gone out there and kept throwing? Like, or did you kind of feel like it was the end of a collegiate season?
You know,
after two years of being in the spotlight.
Yeah, I was a little fatigued for sure. So it was a much needed, I guess, break, you could say. I'm not usually the one to take much of a break, so I guess having that little bit of a reset for me kind of helped a lot, and, you know, just kind of feel better and move better.
So, I mean, it was such an absurd year before your draft year where it's like it's almost impossible to be able to match those kinds of things.
Right.
But then following that up with another really solid season, being one of the top picks in the draft, what are some things that you maybe are trying to focus on to, you know, maybe recapture some of that just unbelievable dominance that you had the year before, which you had plenty of stretches of that the following year, but maybe just trying to hone in on that with more consistency?
Yeah, you know, one thing that has helped me a lot is just focusing on the things that I can control. You know, last year, like you said, there was a lot of pressure. There was a lot of outside expectations, and, you know, that's things that I can't control.
Yeah.
So one thing that I was taught is just control the controllables. I mean, that it's very simple, and it sounds easy, but it's not. It's really easy to let outside influence just influence your life and your job and things like that. So, you know, keeping it day-to-day and just keeping a positive attitude no matter what happens. Like, if you're in a bullpen and you're not throwing well, you know, it's a bad day. Oh, well, you know, move on.
Yeah.
You're going to have plenty of them, promise. So, you know, just kind of focusing on that. And when I'm in-game, my primary job of a pitcher is to execute one pitch at a time. And so that's just one thing that I'm honing in on this year, and that what I'm working on in my bullpens is, you know, not let the previous pitch affect the one that I'm throwing now.
It also helps when, you know, a fastball like yours, I feel like you can almost call it like a get out of jail free card. You know, you can, it's like a hitter's count eraser, right?
Yeah.
Like, guys 2-0, they're geared up, and then that fastball still just, they can't get to it.
Yeah.
What do you feel like makes your fastball so difficult? Of course, it's got the ride.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have some characteristics that are really impressive with it.
Yeah.
Is that something that's just always kind of come natural to you?
Yeah.
Or is that something you kind of leaned into more as, you know, you transferred over and started to maybe work with, you know, some different coaching staffs and work with different people?
You know, it was probably one thing that – this is probably the only thing about delivery that came natural to me. And I had no idea that I was riding the ball until I got to Tennessee. And I was like, oh, I can throw this at the top of the zone and I can strike people out. And that's what I did. So one thing about my fastball, and I feel like I don't need the 20 to 24 inches of vert on my fastball. If I sit 16 to 20 with my release height and my release angle and things like that, and – it just kind of all, it all works really well. I have a really low arm slot, really low three quarters. And so just that extra little carry is just going to help a lot.
Did you feel like, so something with the low release guys, sometimes it can be hard to maintain that vert, right? Sometimes you can get a little bit of like tailing to the arm side.
Yeah.
What is it about your delivery that allows you to kind of maintain that vert? Is that something that ever maybe can seep away sometimes where you start to get a little bit of the arm side runner? Do you feel like you can kind of consistently keep that vertical?
You know, when I stopped being directional is when I really started to lose my vert, and I get a lot more horizontal. It becomes more of a two-seam sinker kind of thing. And the moment I become directional and my feet and my hips are all pointing towards the plate is the moment I get all the vert that I need. And so, you know, as soon as I do that, everything just kind of falls into place.
And again, going back to last year and last time we've seen you pitch, and I'm so excited to see you throw this year, but you know, what are some of the things that you felt really good about and you're excited to build on? And then what are some of the things that maybe, you know, you're excited to be able to take to the next level and be able to capture and get yourself to, you know, be that arm that everybody knows you can be and is expected?
Taking my mentality to the next level, I think, is one thing that's going to help me a lot in the next level. You know, just being able to, like I said, just focus on one pitch at a time and not let the previous one influence what I'm throwing. But kind of go on the mechanical side. You know, some things that I noticed was last year I was really pulling heavy with my glove side. So just making sure that is just along for the ride and I'm just letting my lower half work. The moment I do that, everything just kind of fixes itself.
So pulling heavy with the glove side, does that kind of get you, just for like layman's terms, maybe for the audience, like is that something that can kind of get you like unraveled a little bit early or what exactly do you...
So basically what happens when you pull that glove side, your arm just kind of shoots up.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is you just lose control, basically. So, like, as soon as your arm shoots up, you lose control of everything. And, you know, if you have a strong glove side, which is kind of my mental cue whenever I'm pitching, strong glove side, my arm just kind of flows right into my slot, right where I want it to be, and I can have control over all my pitches. I mean, last year, you guys saw my slider wasn't as good as I wanted it to be. I mean, it was a lot harder, but it was also a cutter. It wasn't a slider. So getting that back has been relatively easy because of the fact that I notice, hey, like, I'm pulling my glove side. Make that strong. Everything else falls into place.
That's
changeup's awesome. Gotten better. Slider's gotten better. Curveball's gotten better. So
that was going to be my next question.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, I think hitters are going to be very nervous to see the slider being like fully back to where it was. But now you mentioned it being a little bit of a cutter. Are you going to like mix in a cutter?
Not at all.
No, I don't need to even go down that route again.
Nope,
like, don't need it. Don't need that muscle memory.
Nope.
So you mentioned the curveball and the changeup.
Yeah.
You know, where are those two pitches at for you in terms of, are they kind of in a similar place? Is there one that you're kind of feeling a little bit more confident with going into the season?
To be honest with you, I'm feeling a lot more confident with both of them. My curveball is transformed into a different pitch. My changeup has become probably right up there with my slider with the swing and miss pitch. So, I mean, at least what I'm saying, I haven't thrown live ABs or anything, so I can't tell you for sure. But, you know, as a from a pitcher's perspective, they're moving the way I want them to.
So after you preach control of the controllables, I'm going to now do a horrible segue into potentially, and then you got to, I know that you're just going to focus on yourself and pitching in different environments, but eventually the goal is to pitch at Coors Field.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's only going to be half your starts, but that is half your starts.
Yeah, for sure.
Being that you're going to have a four-pitch mix, it gives you the ability to adjust, you know, but have you put much thought into, you know, your arsenal when you're developing it into how it can ultimately play up there, or is that kind of across the bridge when you get there kind of thing?
You know, everybody talks about the altitude and stuff like that, right? And how much the ball jumps off the bat and how much, like, you lose spin or you lose, you know, vertical and horizontal movement, right? At the end of the day, like, if you're making pitches, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
If you're making pitches the way you need to and you're executing the way you need to, none of that's going to matter. And, you know, I feel like the one thing that the Rockies are trying to breed over there is just mentally strong pitchers, because obviously you can't run away from it. Yeah, the balls are going to jump off the bat a little more there. So you have to be prepared for that. But, you know, if you're used to that, you know, I played at Tennessee. It was a freaking boombox of a stadium. So, you know, I'm with metal bats. Yeah, with metal bats, with arguably juice balls.
Yeah.
Anyways, we don't have to go there. But, you know, it was I kind of already had that experience, and I'm excited to take it to Denver.
I'm excited to see that. And the last question is on the collector side.
Yeah.
If you could collect the card, and I know you haven't been in the Rockies org that long, but you've been around. And is there someone in the Rockies org, if you could collect one of their cards, you know, one of their Onyx cards, let's say, who would it be and why?
Todd Helton, for sure.
Oh, so you're going former Rocky. I love it.
Yeah, former Rocky. He played at Tennessee.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, you got to...
backed up Peyton Manning.
Exactly. Come on. I mean, he actually beat out Peyton Manning.
Yes.
He actually beat out Peyton Manning. And then he switched over to baseball, and that's when Peyton Manning took over.
Yeah.
But, no, Todd Helton, he's... Number one, he's a great human being. I've had the opportunity to talk with him a few times. He's around the complex all the time. He's actually one of our coaches now. So,
oh, that's awesome.
He's a great human being, and obviously being a former Vol, it's kind of hard not to say Todd Helton in that situation.
I love that. And the last question I've been asking everybody is, you know, and usually I've been getting the same answer, but got to ask you to, what would be a successful 2024 for Jace Dolander?
You know, for me is, I'm not even going to go anywhere where I feel like a lot of people think I'm going to go. It's just take it day by day. You know, if I take myself day by day and I control the controllables like we've been talking about, everything else will take care of itself. Now, I'm not going to say I want to debut. I'm not going to say I want to get here. I'm not going to say I want to get there. I want to control myself day by day, control my attitude, control the controllables, control how I execute pitches. Everything else takes care of itself.
Well, I'm excited to see it all take care of itself this year, man. Best of luck. And
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Here with
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Rangers first round pick and pitching prospect Kumar Rocker. Did you just get through finishing all the signings, or do you have a few more cards to get through?
I am all done.
You're all done.
Short and sweet.
You've been a guy that's been in the spotlight for a while, so you're probably pretty used to signing things and at this point.
Yeah, I've gotten used to it.
But how are these cards for you, these Onyx cards? It's pretty cool and unique when you can have the like personalized inscriptions, stuff like that. How's this experience?
I think that's super fun. I think it's super fun for the fans as well. And I love the Onyx card and how it's set up. I think it's a great just the way the colors are and everything set up on there is beautiful.
So were you ever much of a collector yourself? Did you ever get into cards?
I actually wasn't. I had a couple growing up, but none serious.
So you've been around a lot of talent, though, at Vanderbilt, things like that, a lot of really good players through the years. Like, is there anybody that you played with in college or maybe now in professional ball that you would like to potentially collect their cards if you could get them?
Everybody's in the locker room, honestly. Yeah. We got a lot of stars. We got a lot of stars on the team, so I could go around the weight room and figure it out.
But talking about you, I mean, the first like stint of pro ball was awesome. I mean, we saw the stuff. Yeah, strikeouts were there.
Yeah.
Now on the mend from Tommy John surgery, it's like that you might be throwing off a mound within the next month potentially.
Yeah. It's coming up, and I think a lot of pitchers are happy to have Tommy John surgery either. They come back usually better, and I'm excited to get through it. I'm excited to have a new elbow and show my stuff again with just more improved. Yep.
How much does it help? I mean, I'm sure we're already supremely confident, but just being able to at least before going down with the injury have that success and A-ball and just see your stuff really play professional
stuff. It was great. It was great getting to know those hitters, and it was great giving the organization something, confidence that they drafted the right guy. So that was happy.
How have you been, you know, through that process of getting back, you know, how has it been for you? I know it's obviously probably, you know, monotonous and long, but, you know, how has it maybe reinstilled your excitement to get back out there and go for the game?
It's definitely reinstilled my excitement. And I had a shoulder scope in 21, and going through that by myself was tough, but being with the organization this time and rehabbing through this process has been amazing.
What's it like being back with your former teammate, Jack Leiter, and, you know, just being in the same organization with him? It's got to be a pretty cool, you know, full circle.
Yeah, it is full circle. And Jack continues to get better each year, and I'm ready to take the field with him at some point.
You alluded to it with just the talent that the Rangers have. What is it? How helpful is it for you to just be around so much, you know, greatness and a team now that is, you know, all coming off of a World Series win? Everything with the Rangers right now just kind of exudes
away. Right.
You know, how does that kind of trickle down to someone like you who's, you know, on their way there, but, you know, still on their way there?
I think for a young player, especially in my position, it's amazing to be around those guys and see what they do every day. And then when you talk about exudes winning, the talk in the building is all about winning. And, like, there's nothing better to walk in the building and knowing that you got a championship, you're able to win it each year. So it's special to be in. I'm a blessing to be drafted by this team, so it's amazing.
In that draft process, I mean, how at what point did you realize, oh, man, I could be going in the top five picks here? Obviously, that must have been a pretty exciting time. And it seemed like for a lot of people, like, no one quite knew where you were going to go. And then it was, boom, you're off the board in the top five, which was so exciting.
I knew the stuff was there early on in the stint that I had in indie ball. And then the draft class kind of thinned itself out. And I feel like I had a real shot. The Rangers loved me the year before. I loved them. I thought it was a great facility, great people, and worked out well.
That's awesome. And a couple more questions. But on the side of, like, your first professional stint there, what did you feel like was working for you and allowed you to overpower high hitters so quickly?
Right. One, I came in there wanting to throw the fastball. And then two, I wanted to get my outs early. Through spring training and doing little things with the professional team, pitch count's a big thing each inning. So kind of taking that to the game, it was great. I got outs early, and I was able to go long innings with less effort.
Is there another hurdle before you get onto the mound that, you know, you need to clear? Or is that kind of the next big, you know, check mark for you?
I think it's one, growing back in my body. I think I'm fully mature now at 24, body-wise and physical-wise. And just managing that workload and making sure my stuff's there each day, and then kind of managing myself, really.
And then from an Arsenal perspective, of course, you're just going to get back and just try to get back into the throwing of things and get back into the feel of things. But is there certain things that you're eager to maybe hone in on more from your Arsenal and just some of your secondaries?
I knew leaving that stint that my command could be better, and then the changeup's going to get better. And then the two-seamer was a new pitch for me that year, and I saw a lot of good results with right-handed hitters. And just kind of pounding that again and seeing it happen again and just resealing that confidence.
Last one for you. You know, aside from the health side of things and getting back on the bump, is there any particular thing beyond the command and some of the things that would make it a successful year for you on the mental side, maybe, or just the way that you're approaching the game?
Mental side was, I guess, get these innings that I'm looking for, get some wins I'm looking for, be able to help the team, and then come out there healthy, and then continue to flow with this process, because it's been a lot of hard work through the rehab these past 2 years, and I know I'm coming to the end of it.
And I'm looking forward to seeing you.
I appreciate you.
I'm excited to see what you're going to do. Thank you so much for the time.
Thank you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.